Hi. Welcome to the channel. Welcome to Boulder. I'm out here. I'm pretty tired. I'm out here about an hour late. I had to walk for about a mile. I missed the bus. I didn't miss the bus, but I was between the bus schedules. They only run every 30 minutes. And I didn't want to, it just left about 5 minutes before. It took me longer in the bank than I thought I was going to do. So I missed that bus, and I took another bus, and they let me off way down there on Broadway and walked down here. It's a nice walk. You know, when you're walking, even when you're walking for the Lord, especially the way I am, I had probably, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, at least 13 people who stop what they're doing to look at me. I'm dressed like this. I got this big old banner over my shoulder. It's, 6 feet long with pole and the big sign. I got my orange safety cones, my backpack, and I'm a spectacle. I attract attention. And the first group of people said, "What do you got there? What do you got there? Oh, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Jesus." Yeah. I mean, it's amazing the little things that we can do for the Lord that to us may seem like no big deal, like it's not of any importance. But God did take the smallest little action that you apply in the kingdom of God and make them big and huge and monstrous, and but huge. Hang on here. A street sweeper that doesn't really clean the street. They just go down the road making dust and leave a trail of dirt behind them. But the smallest little thing that you can do, sometimes people think, well, I want to serve the Lord. What big thing can I do? What big thing can I do? And then they stop. They don't even, I can't do that. I can't do that. I might as well just give up. And that's what happens. That's why I so encourage people to get gospel tracts. Here's just a gospel tract right here. Just a little sheet of paper with some stuff in it. And this gospel tract seemed like no big deal to most people. Let me tell you, there are a multitude of people that are in heaven right now and will be in heaven because of gospel tracts. Little pamphlets, little booklets that you can fold up. A lot of times I'll roll them up like this. And I'll stick them down in a bench, the slats in a bench. I'll stick them down in the bench like that. Somebody comes along, looks at it. Sometimes they'll put it back. Sometimes they'll lay it on the table. Sometimes they'll trash it, put it in the trash can. I don't really care what they do. But my act of doing something small, like rolling it up and putting it in the slats of a bench, like a park bench. I do bus stops a lot when I'm walking. That does a lot. That does a big deal. That does something. But to you, you might think, well, that seems like maybe they're not going to read it. Maybe they'll throw it away. I've heard every excuse you can possibly say. I've been doing this for years and years and years and years and years. And I've been talking this way for years and years and years and years. But still today, very few people pass out gospel tracts. Why? Because they think it's not that important. Well, I thank God that Jesus thinks his dying on the cross was important for you. Because if he didn't do that, and he thought, well, they're not that important. I'm not going to go down and suffer and sacrifice my life for people who don't really care. Do you think Jesus said that? No. So why are you saying that? He did something big. He's just asking you just something small, some little tiny thing to move the needle, move people closer to receiving Christ. Why not? Even coming out to the street, if all you did was, you didn't lift a banner, you didn't wear anything like I did, let's say, or maybe you got a hat, I don't know, and maybe you got a little sign or something that said Jesus on it, and you did a little video like this out here on your street corner, someplace where you are. And you posted that up on YouTube or Rumble or some other video service, or maybe you do a Instagram. This guy. See, I'm a witness. I've had three people now honk and wave to me one before the video and two after the video. One was, I was doing the scripture short, he sit right there, it was God blessing me. And thank you so much, and she's mocking me. That's all right. See, so she's making a decision right now in that car, shaking her head no. You know, does that bother me? No, because I'm doing something small. But that small thing that I'm doing, just standing here, dressed the way I'm dressed, not talking to anybody, I'm not preaching out loud to people, I'm preaching to you on the camera. That'll go live for the whole world to see. And you can share that video, you can like it, you can subscribe, you can make comments on it, you can cut it up and make slices of it, make little scripture shorts out of it, or some kind of YouTube shorts out of it, or you can do all kinds of things. I mean, I let that be available to people. They can download it for future use, I guess. It's free for everybody to use, you know? And why not? One more reason why people don't do something small is because they say, well, you know, that's your job, that's your calling to do. My throat. Sorry, man. My throat is really, I've preached for a few days, and so when you haven't preached out loud for a few days, your throat kind of closes up or does something. I don't know, it's hard to talk. That's why today I probably have a pretty sore throat after I get done today. Not here, but after I lift my banner and I do my thing out here. But so that's one excuse that, you know, that's your calling. That's what you're going to do. That's what God has asked you to do. Things like that, you know. And so that's their excuse for not doing something small, not big, not coming out and lifting a 10-foot banner on the street corner. Not that. Not even doing a scripture, not even doing a sermon on the street with a camera. Just a gospel tract. Maybe put the gospel tract in an envelope and address it to somebody that you haven't talked to in 5 years. Put a stamp on it, drop in the mailbox. Let the chips fall where they may, you know. You haven't talked to them 5 years, and they don't talk another 5 years, so what? You know? Mail one to your son or your daughter that you haven't talked to for 6 months. I may do that. They haven't talked to me in 6 months. Well, maybe not that long, but I may do that. One more thing to keep in touch with my children. You know, there's things that you can do if you just sit down and think about soul winning. And that's why I did that scripture short here just a few days ago, or last couple, you know, whatever it was, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days ago. And that is, soul winning is wise. It's 60 minutes long, or no, five. That one's 5 minutes long. And you know, 5 minutes long, and still the average view length is only about 2 minutes. Maybe 1.5. I didn't look exactly. I thought it was 1.5 or 2 minutes. And then I cut that down. I thought, well, people don't like 5 minutes. I'll cut that down to 58 seconds. 58 seconds. You know what the average view time of about, I think, 20 people have watched it now? And of 58 seconds, they only can watch 46 seconds. They can't watch it from the beginning to the end. How about that? See, people can't do little things because you don't know what's at the end of that video because you only watched it for 46 seconds. So that should let you know something about who you are. Maybe you shouldn't even have clicked on the video. Maybe you should just have prayed for me. You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing out a bunch of stuff here. Whatever, you know, wherever it lands is wherever it lands. But it's the little things that you can do for the Lord that causes great things to happen. Listen, the Word of God is very clear that if just one single person should repent, that all the hosts of heaven, an unnumberable number that we don't know, all the hosts of heaven rejoice over that one sinner that repents because you sowed the little seed. But then somebody come along and water that seed. You planted it, but somebody else come along and water it. But the God is the Lord of the harvest, and He'll harvest that crop. But if you don't sow and somebody doesn't water, how is Jesus going to harvest that soul? See what I'm saying? So we all have to do something small and something great. But whatever it is, we want to pray first. Then we want to ask the Lord what He wants us to do. And then we ask the Holy Spirit for help, power to go do that, and then we go do that and we get the job done. Get the job done. Today, get the job done. Quit putting off preaching or ministering. Stop it. And if the Lord's been telling you to go to Bible school, don't put it off anymore. Start applying to different colleges, asking God where He wants you to go. I went to Bible school. It was the greatest thing I ever did. And I'm so happy I did that. I had a pastor who wanted to take my wife under his wing down in Colorado Springs, and he would teach us how to be youth pastors. He would teach us how to be ministers. The Lord says, no, I don't want you here. I want you in school. And so that's where we went, to school. And now we went to a different type of schooling that a lot of people go to, but we went to do what God told us to do. So if it's that, or whatever it is, get that job done. Quit putting things off. Because when you put things off, you don't know what's coming. You really don't. Nobody knows. And when you put it off, you're really telling God, I doubt you. I doubt the power of God. I doubt God can help me. I doubt my abilities. I doubt, I doubt, I doubt. And so you sow seeds of doubt in your life. And that's why you reap that doubt, the lack of trust, the lack of faith, the lack of action in your life. You become lukewarm. You become what the churches today call conservative Christians. They do very, very, very little for God. Yeah, they go to church, they look nice, they smell nice, but they don't really do anything. They just preach a nice message. Everyone says thank you. They clap or whatever they do. They put their little offering in the bucket and they go home and have roast beef and or turkey or whatever. And you'd never know they were a Christian. Never know they were a Christian. A lot of those Christians are going through divorce. A lot of those Christians are having marital problems. A lot of those Christians are having problems with their children. A lot of those conservative Christians are having health issues. Yeah, a lot of problems. And so, I am a walking testimony that God will put the words in your mouth that you don't even know you're going to say. Somebody's going to hear that word. That's what happened in class this morning. I said something I didn't know I said. And one of the students in our class heard that, and I didn't hear it, called another sister, told her what I said in class, and she called me before I came out. I was struggling. It's about 8:45 this morning. I was praying to God to give me strength so I can get out the door. I'm already, and I was beginning to get weak. Usually by 9:30, I just collapse. And I thought, if I can just get moving before 9 o'clock, I can probably get out the door before this fatigue hits me. And lo and behold, this sister in the Lord in my class, who's faithful, serving God, did a little thing, a little thing. She made a phone call to another sister in the Lord who made a phone call to me. And she said, I need to pray for you, Preacher John, to give you strength. I thought, praise God. I almost wanted to cry because I didn't know I said that. She quoted back what that other sister told her. I said, I didn't know I said that. And I was so grateful because she prayed a mighty powerful prayer. And I was touched by God. And I was able to put my gear together and I was able to head out the door and be a witness for Christ because of some little action that somebody did. You see what I'm saying? I'm a walking testimony. And you say, I don't have time. I don't go to John's class. Why do I want to get up early and go to 7 o'clock class? It's still dark outside. I got to get my 8. But this other lady didn't. She gets up early or whatever. I tell you, sometimes you have to do things that are uncomfortable. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is not convenient, never will be convenient, and will never ever, listen to this, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ will never fit into your schedule. That's a fact. I hope you heard that. If you're waiting around to get everything right, to line all the street lights up and all the things that you need before you get in doing something, forget it. You might as well sit down and give up right now, because you'll never get out the door. You'll never do anything for God. That's why God is still using me. After all these decades, this old preacher, this old truck driver, who trucked for 40 years, 3.5 million miles, preaching the gospel, giving out gospel tracts and praying for people, working in the church and doing anything that God told me to do, the little things that nobody saw but me and God. And God's using me now, touching people for heaven. How about that? How about that? You just don't know what you can do for God if you just take that little mustard seed and launch out into the deep. Let down your net. When you let down your net, you're gonna catch some fish. You really will, because you're obeying Jesus. Now you might have said, but I've toiled all night, I've tried that, it doesn't work. And you tell the Lord, it doesn't work, Lord. I've already tried all that for 5 years, and nothing's ever worked, no one's ever come to the Lord. And the Lord tells you, loose your net on the other side of the boat. But we've already been at it all night. Put it on the other side of the boat. And they put it on the other side of the boat. And there are so many fish that the net almost began to break. And they had to call other boats in to help them pull all the fish up. Yeah. And then Peter fell down and worshiped and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner." Or something like that. It's an amazing story. 153 fish. Very important number there. Very important number. You can look at that number all kinds of ways. How I look at that number is Jesus is number one in my life, and I was born in 53. 153. God is number one in my life, and I was born in 53. How about that? I was called to the ministry in 1953. That's when I was called to be a priest of Almighty God. How about that? 153. God, number one, called me in 1953. Instead of my mom saying yes to God and training me up in the ministry, my dad saying yes to God and training me up in the ministry as a child should go, they said no to God. My mother and dad said no to God and trained me in witchcraft and Satanism instead. How wicked and evil can parents be? That's what you do when you say no to God. When you say no to God, I can't plant that gospel tract. I can't order that case of tracts John's trying to give away. I can't do that. You open the door for Satan to come in like a roaring lion to rip your whole life apart. You don't think that's true? You just hang around another 20 years and tell me more about what you think Satan cannot do in your life. Satan can get into places you never thought he'd ever, 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 ever get into. But you know it all. I have a bunch of comments that I put up online that know, probably 4, 5, 6 comments that they know it all. I don't know a thing, they said. You're a false teacher. You're a false preacher. You're leading people astray. That's what they tell me. Yeah. And you know why they tell me that? Because I pray out in the public. Oh, you're a false preacher. You're supposed to pray in your closet or pray privately. Or they also tell me, because you talk about what you do for Christ. You're a boaster. Yeah, you're a boaster. People are so caught up in the web of Satanism, they don't even know it. They don't even know it. That's the wonder of deception, the marveling of deception. The people who are deceived don't even know it. Don't even know it. Don't even know it. Have no clue. No clue. No clue. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm not going to preach on the Sunday prayer letter. My throat is already massively sore. I was ministering in Chase Bank this morning to five people in the bank. Do you minister to people when you go to your bank, or do you just slip in and slip out unnoticed? I make sure everybody knows that a representative of Jesus Christ just walked into Chase Bank. So before I left Chase Bank, my throat was already getting sore. So I'm just gonna highlight this one verse in context of what I've been saying for the last little bit, however long I've been talking. All right, so that's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. This is the first verse that I talked on in our class this morning. And I was gonna talk on fire during my scripture short, and the Lord said, no, I want you to do the first verse that you did in class, Proverbs 3, 27. I said, yes, sir. So I did that, and that's what scripture short's all about. So as I was talking here, the Lord quickened me that I want you to do that here also now. And that's why I'm pulling this up. So this, once again, what one person said I was boasting, I'm an example. That's what God has set me up. So God is using me as an example, an ensample to follow, because I'm following Christ. I'm following the Apostle Paul, who laid the foundation on the rock, and I'm building upon that foundation, the rock of Christ and the Word of God in the King James Bible. All right? And so that's what God's doing. I've never been that way before. I've never been used as an example, but when I lifted my banner in 2019, God said everything's going to change. He started talking to me a year before that and started changing things, and I didn't know why he was changing things until later. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, this is all about what I'm talking about. Proverbs 3, verse 27. All right. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Now I'm going to stop for a second and highlight. The Holy Ghost quickened me to look at the verse number 27. So 27 is the number 9. And the number 9 is a form of looking at the 1611. I learned that from Gary down there in Phoenix at the 1611 King James Bible Museum. Highly encourage you to look at his YouTube channel. It's called Above God's Name, 1611, Above God's Name by G. John Rove. That's his short name, Gary. Anyways, he talked about 27 is the number 9, 279, and that is the sum total of 1611. So 1611 is 9, and that's 1611. So this verse actually points back to the 1611 King James Bible, when you look at it that way. And then when you look at it through that lens, that eyes, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, but if you don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, that won't make any sense to you. And you'll probably make a comment on the video that said John's into numerology. Yeah, see, that's how silly people are. But that's life. You can't get away from those type of people. They'll never leave, right? So 27, what's in my hand right now is power. The power of God is also in the word. And the word should be in your hand. Where's the sword of the Spirit? It's in your mouth. It's not in your hand. But a lot of us think we're holding the sword. I mean, we kind of use it like a sword. It's kind of an analogy there. All right, verse 27 again. Withhold not good. Now, think about this. Could this be a commandment of God? He says, withhold not good. I mean, it's like a commandment to me. If you think about it, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. If you place a gospel track, it's in the power of my hand right now to do this. Am I gonna roll this gospel track up and put it in that park bench or that bus stop? Am I gonna be driving down the road in a hurry, reading my stupid cell phone while I'm driving? Or am I gonna put that stupid thing away? And I see a bus stop bench up the road, I'm gonna see where I can pull over, and I'll pull over and pull that out of my glove box or out of my center console, and I'll roll that up and put it in that bus stop. You can create a little route for yourself all through town, different bus stops, different places, and you can pass out gospel, 5 or 10 a day. Make a route. Yeah. When you go, I mean, why not? See, the little things. It's in your hand to do it. If you want. If you don't want, guess what? You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. But it says right here, withhold not good from them whom it is due. Do you think the gospel of Jesus Christ is due them? Do you think that this message and this gospel tract is not due the person? You don't know who that person is, man. If you think you know who they are, you're playing God. Romans 8 tells you not to do that. Only the mind of Christ knows what's going on in that soul. You don't know what to pray for. If you don't know what to pray for, how do you know what to preach? That's why we have to pray in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, what happens after that is God will give you the words to say. That's why the disciples said, what are we going to say? What are we going to say? We got everything we need, but what are we going to say? They said, don't worry about that. When you need to speak, the Holy Ghost will give you the words to speak. They were talking to Jesus, the Word of God. And the Word of God told them, don't worry about that. Holy Ghost will give you the words to say. And guess what happened? They had miracles happen. See, I just made her day. Every time she's talking, I ride her bus occasionally. She said, every time I see you, Preacher John, I think she calls me Mr. John, this lady here in this particular bus, you make my day. My day has become happy when I see you. Yeah, little thing. Seems like no big deal. You wave and you smile to people. Do you wave and smile to the people when they honk? Or do you say, all these people are honking at me. What are they doing that for? You see, check your attitude. Check your heart. I hear that on street preachers. They get mad at people who are honking. Or when somebody comes by and they say, God bless you, brother. They ignore them. They ignore them. They turn a deaf ear. Or they say, are you saved? I mean, he said, God bless you, brother. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, man. God bless you, too. Why can't you say that? Why do you have to say, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? It makes me furious. But that's why I don't copy street preachers. I had another guy. I mean, I'm hot. Another guy on my YouTube channel made a comment. He says, I hate street preachers. I hate public preachers, he said. Well, you look sort of okay. I hope you're not preaching the wrong stuff. I hope you're not in heresy and all. I don't know what he says. A whole paragraph. He watches 60 seconds of the hour-long video, and he judges me. I can't believe anybody watches those 60-second shorts and then has enough information to judge a preacher. But they do that. They do that every day. 60 seconds. But that's not the average view time. The average view time of my shorts are about, I think 35 or 37 seconds. Of a 60 second, that's the average view length. Average. Just because you watch it for a whole hour, maybe you watch it five times. The average is that. So right here in Proverbs chapter 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Now, if you don't have the power to do something, and God has you called to do it, is it in your power? No. No, no, no. That's why I tell people, quit playing God. If God wants you to do something, He'll provide the power to go do that. That's why we pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. Because when we have the fire of God, it keeps us pure and holy. Without spot, without blemish, and our works are constantly being tried. When they're constantly being tried, we're looking at what's getting burned up and what's staying solid and beautiful. And we have a tendency to only do the gold, the silver, and precious stone type work, type ministry, because the wood, hay, and stubble gets burned up. That's why you want the fire of God in your life. One more reason why you want that fire. It's one of the reasons God's still using me. After all the things I messed up, as much as I messed up, I'm surprised God's still using me. But I have a contrite, repentant heart. I have a broken heart, man. God can use me any way He wants me. That's why I'm out here today. That's why I'm out here today. I praise God. That's why I'm out here today. Because God quickened the ears of that sister who heard me say something. I'm guessing that's where she heard it. She didn't say where she heard it, because I talk and I don't know what I'm saying. I praise God for people who have ears to hear. God opened her ears so she can hear that. Because she's at work too, that other sister. She's at work too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Got to wave to the police. God bless you. He didn't see me. She didn't see me. I want to make contact with the Boulder Police because the Boulder Police Department is in part of my supplication that I pray out on the street and all around. Same with our county sheriffs and our state troopers. The Colorado State Troopers are also in my supplication. Are you praying for your state troopers and your sheriffs and your city police officers? I hope so. Do you pray for all your government? I hope so. I am. Every day, 7 days a week, I pray for the government of Colorado, from the top all the way to the dog catcher, from the governor to the street sweeper. Withhold not good. That's what it says. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Your hand has power, not just your physical hand. So hand means power. Power, the hand means close by. Your neck, the power is next to you. That's the Holy Ghost, next to you. You're in the power of God. He's next to you. All right? Let me read it one more time. Really, really want to hone in on this verse, because this particular verse has been used in all kinds of forms and fashions. Oftentimes, people use this verse when they're having a building program in their church. When people have the power of, they have money in their hand and they have the power to write a check, a big check, let's say. And so the preacher brings this verse up. Withhold not good. That's the money you have in your account. I mean, that kind of stuff. So I don't ever do that. And I've heard it preached so many times, but I'm using it that in a seed format, like the gospel tract. It's in my hand to do something with these gospel tracts. My hand to preach a sermon. My hand to hold the Bible. It's in my hand. The power of God is near me so I can do this, so I can talk. And then the power of God is with me when I get home, where I can put the video together and upload it to the YouTube channel. So you can watch it. You can pray for us. You can like the video. You can comment on the video. You can share it. You can put it on other social media sites. You can download it. You can maybe make snippets of it, little shorts out of it. I don't know. Why not? Why not? Why not? I hope you know the answer to that. Why not? You know what I'm saying? I hope you do. So I have 15 gospel tracts here. I've got 3 church cards right here. And I've got 3 $5 $1 bills right here. 3 5, 5, and 5, to remember the poor. I do the Bible. I do the Bible. Are you doing the Bible, or do you pick and choose? I sow the Word of God, and I say, God bless you, but if they're hungry, I give them a meal. I don't say, just God bless you, here's a gospel tract, but I need to get on the bus, and your God bless you can't get me on the bus. So I give them enough money to get on the bus. Example. Now, am I boasting? I'm setting an example for you. That's what I'm doing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be an example to people who don't even know me, who judge me, who think they know all about me. They know 50 years of preaching. They know all about me. They know all the millions of people I've touched in my life. They know all about me, They judged me right off the bat and crossed me off their list of preachers. How sad. They unsubscribe. They stop giving. They stop praying. They leave the church. They leave the ministry. Oh, well, that's their deal between you and God, between you and them, not between me. But that's what happens to people. Oh, well. Oh, well. Their world is more important than you, God. I thank God that you're more important than this world in my life. This world is passing away. This flesh is passing away. And I'm going home, heaven. I'm going home to heaven in Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. Touch the people, Lord. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so that's going to be it. I hope that made sense to you. My throat is so sore already. God bless you, man. I love you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.